right. Come. All right. Perpetu just showed up. She was at the other site this morning, our University City worship site. Welcome back. Good to see you. If you don't know, this is Perpetu Jonah. She used to be on staff at our church, a core servant of God and leader among us for many years. And now God has called her to Canada and Belgium and all sorts of other places. Bring just like a sentence or two or a word of greeting a minute, okay? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting emotional. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everybody. I'm so happy to be among you. I miss you so much. And I have the opportunity to come just for 5 days. I'm leaving on Wednesday. So I wanted to come and be with you today. And I thank you for your care. And I want just to say how much you guys are in my life, even though I cannot see you. But in my heart, you are there. And that's why I want to tell you, God bless you.
Amen. So I know some of you want to just not have a sermon and you want to just hang out with Perpetu. You're going to be here for the rest of church, right? Okay, so we will connect more after church. So good to see you. I want to ask Pastor Ruben to come on up, and he's going to pray for our sermon. This morning we are going to hear the word from Pastor Kam. So one of the great privileges we have is to walk together with God's people around the world, like Perpetu, who is serving God in other places, and like Pastor Ruben, who has been brought here by the will of God. We believe God brought you here from Congo, and many of your family members and others who are here, and like Pastor Kam, who was, of course, with us for many years. And just so you know, Pastor Kam is one of our graduates this year. All right. Not high school, not college. He will be Dr. Zamkat Kam. So. All right. But Pastor Kam, we look forward to hearing the word of God from you this morning. And Pastor Ruben, would you pray for us?
Mungu wa Bwana wetu Yesu Kristo. Tuko mbele zako asubuhi ya leo. Tunasifu jina lako kuu, jina lenye nguvu, jina lenye mamlaka, jina lenye uwezo, ambalo ndani yake tumepata wokovu. Asanti Mungu kwa yote ambayo umetenda, na yale ambayo unaendelea kuyatenda. Asubuhi ya leo kanisa lako ni mbele ya uso wako. Tunaamini kwamba wewe ni pamoja nasi, na utatenda kazi kupitia neno lako. Mungu utabariki kila mmoja wetu. Mungu utatenda kazi katika roho ya kila mmoja wetu. Mungu utazungumuza na kila roho hapa tayari kupitia neno lako. Ubariki mtumishi wako. Neno lako litie katika roho yake na katika kinywa chake, ili anene pahali pako. Na masikio yetu ya roho yapate kusikia, na tunyenyekee chini ya uwezo wa nguvu za Mungu, ili neno lako lipate kutubadilisha. Santi Mungu sababu nuru yako itangaa mahali hapa. Santi Mungu sababu uwezo wako utashuka mahali hapa. Asanti Mungu sababu nguvu zako zitajirisha mahali hapa. Asanti kwa sababu neno lako litatubadilisha, ili tufanane na wewe. Tunaomba hivyo ni katika jina tukufu la Yesu. Amen.
I count it a great privilege for me to be able to stand here this morning once again after being away from here for a couple of months. And it's always good to be here. And I'm glad this morning to see Perpetu here, with whom I had served the Lord for a couple of years, and I feel myself very much being part of this body of Christ, that I feel like coming back home, even though I am on a short visit this time. And when I was in the seminary in India, my president, the president of the school where I studied for my MDiv, had to travel to the United States from time to time. So many times, even while I was there. And whenever he came back, we would give him a welcome ceremony, lighting up in front of the chapel and shaking his hand and singing some songs, and he would speak a few words. And that was kind of repeated several times while I was there. And one of the things that he said, which I could never really forget, was nothing is like being back home. And I feel the same way here, even though I will have to fly out of here before the end of this month for good, but I will still be part of this church. That's the way I feel about you and the church. We may not be together in bodily, but we will remain one forever because we are part of the larger body of Christ. And this morning, after hearing several messages on the Ten Commandments, my only regret was, and still is, that I could not be here to walk through the Ten Commandments with the pastors. I was privileged to hear three sermons, and I was greatly blessed. Even last week, we had the conclusion sermon, and our concluding sermon from a pastor, Pastor Kevin, and I was made to realize that I was really blessed by the sermon. I have received so many, many blessings from the sermons on the Ten Commandments. But I would say that what Pastor Kevin said last Sunday about desiring, us desiring less, not more, that is the problem. And our desires for this thing, that thing, and that's desiring less than what the Lord wants us to have. And God wants us to desire Him and His best, while we would desire this and that and be satisfied, or a thing we will be satisfied if we have this or that, while it is God's will to have the best, that is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. And that's the key, I think, to the commandments. And this morning, I entitled my message, Living God's Will. Having walked through the Ten Commandments, I realized that we need to live out God's will in our lives. And my text this morning is based on the Lord's Prayer. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As I study this prayer, which is known throughout the ages as the Lord's Prayer, I have found out several things that surround, I would say, this prayer. In its parallel passage in Luke The disciples came to Jesus asking him to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples. That's the context in which Jesus taught this prayer. And then we have this prayer taught by Jesus, which is known as the Lord's Prayer. We all know that this is not the Lord's Prayer, but the prayer that the Lord teaches, or the Lord taught his disciples and still teaches us. It's more like a parent prayer. We can repeat the words. We can pray these words. We can pray this prayer. But we need not do that every time. But this could be taken as a pattern prayer. And this prayer can teach us a lot of things. The disciples of Jesus, when they saw John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, taught his disciples how to pray, approached Jesus and asked him to teach them the same thing. And we know by this that John the Baptist must have been a man of prayer. And his disciples, too, must have been men of prayer. And Jesus, in Matthew, in that context, after he had finished praying, several times we would see Jesus praying on the mountaintops, in quiet places, whole night. And the disciples observed his prayer life, and they had a desire to be like the Master. No wonder. He was such an influence on these disciples. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus went up on the mountaintop, and he chose the 12. And the Bible says he chose whom he would, or whom he liked. Nobody told him or enforced him to do that. He did it by himself, for himself. It is written in the middle voice in the Greek language. And he did out of his own will for himself. He chose the 12 for himself. For two things. One is that they should be with him, and that he should send them out. And they were with him, and they saw him pray several times. Sometimes he would depart from them and spend the whole night with his Father alone. And sometimes he would pray in front of them, in their presence. So Jesus was a man of prayer. And they saw him do that, and they wanted to learn from him the same power, the same thing. And they came and asked him to teach them. The Bible doesn't even say, teach us how to preach, but the disciples came and said, teach us to pray. And he taught this prayer. He taught them this prayer. And here, in this prayer that Jesus taught, we see several things that we can note. We can observe several things about this prayer. And number one is, there are no singular pronouns used at all in this prayer. That's something really strange. Not my Father, not my, but our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Always in the plural, not in the singular. And that means Even when we think we are praying for ourselves, we can never do that. Because we are part of the larger body of Christ. And the answer, God's answer to our prayers, would not just benefit us alone. It's for the body of Christ, always. We are selfish people. We are very individualistic. Not just Americans, but everybody. Every sinful, broken people the world over. I have heard you say, we Americans, but it's the same everywhere. There's no difference. But we cannot pray for ourselves. It is us always. It is our always. And that's something we can note about this prayer. And also, it is based on a relationship. As we have heard about the Ten Commandments through our pastors, the commandments were not given to the people of God that they can observe them and become God's people. But rather that they were given to God's people because they were God's people. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 25, we have sheep and goat judgment, where the king says to the sheep on his right hand, go in and enjoy the Lord's kingdom. Those sheep, not because they visit the sick, not because they give clothes to those who have no clothes, not because they feed the hungry, not because they give drink to people who are thirsty, that they become sheep. They do those things because they are sheep. They do sheep things. We can never really earn, we can never earn God's favor. The commandments are given to the people of God because they are God's people. They are redeemed people. And this prayer, too, when we say, Our Father in heaven, tells us something about our relationship. We have a relationship with God. God is our Father, us as His children. We do not become God's children by doing something good or observing all the Ten Commandments. But we become God's children by trusting Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled His Father's will and He paid our sin debt on the cross and He has accomplished whatever is necessary for our redemption. And when we receive Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus for our salvation, for our eternity, for our life, we become His children. And we can call God our Father. And here we also can see three petitions. Petition for food, or I would say physical needs. Food, clothes, shelter, which we call in Burmese, sawut ne ye. And then we have the petition for pardon or cleansing from sin or forgiveness. And then we have a petition for deliverance from temptation and from the evil one. These three petitions, these three prayers are legitimate needs of ours. We really need them. We cannot really live without these three things. So Jesus wants us to pray for these three things. We need them. And God knows that we need them. Jesus knows that we need them. But many times we don't realize that these legitimate needs or petitions for these legitimate needs, these three things, come only after the first three things. We just go to God and we pray to God. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We just go to God and ask whatever we need. We ask God for our physical needs. We ask God for protection from the evil one. We ask God for forgiveness. These are our legitimate needs. We should go, and we should go more often. But we don't realize that they don't come first. What come first are the first three things. One is God's name, one is God's kingdom, one is God's will. These three things, and then we are told to pray for these legitimate needs. We need them, we should pray for them, but we should realize, we should remember that these three things should be put in the context of the first three things. God's name. We need to go back to the Ten Commandments. We have two tablets. We have the first four commandments, which tell us our duties toward God, and the next six commandments, which are for interpersonal, interhuman relationships. And even among those, we have no other God, we have God's name, no image, and the Sabbath. And then we have honoring our fathers and our mothers, and no murdering, no committing adultery, and so on and so forth. God puts much emphasis on his name. He is very jealous about his name, more than we would realize. In 1 Kings chapter 20, we have King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings of Israel. He is the king of Israel in Samaria. And his wife, Jezebel, was no help. But, you know, she was such a wicked queen who would lead the king into more and deeper sins. But when the Syrians from the north came, God rescued the king and his kingdom, his city, from their hands. And when they got back to their place, they said, next year, let's go fight Ahab and Samaria and the kingdom of Israel again. And this time, let's entice them to come down to the valley. And we'll fight them and we'll win there. Because their God is God of the hills, not of the valleys. And God sent his prophet to them. I will surely deliver them into your hand, because they have said that I am the God of the hills only, and not of the valleys. Ahab has no claim on God's help, actually. He was such a wicked king. He worshipped Baal. He built altars to Baals. But God said, because they have said that the God of Israel is the God of the hills and not of the valleys, I will give you victory. I will deliver them into your hands. God is very, very, very jealous of his name. And we don't pay much attention to that. God's name. And God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. God's reign and rule in the world. And in the hearts, in the church, everywhere. Seek ye first the kingdom and righteousness of God. God's kingdom come on earth. And then we have God's will. If I am asked, if someone asks me, what is a Christian life? Living out in the most practical way, I would say, living out God's will. Seeking God's will and living accordingly. We cannot really please God without living His will. Years ago, I don't remember exactly when, but I have even two copies of that book. There was a book published in the United States called In His Steps. What would Jesus do? I have read that book several times because I like it. And I could even see stickers on cars. WWJD question mark. What would Jesus do? Whenever we have to decide for anything, whenever we have to do anything, before we do anything, We have to think about that. What would Jesus do? What is God's will in this matter? I heard about a pastor of a church who got called by another bigger church. And one day the deacons, it's a Baptist church, I think. They don't have elders. The deacons paid a visit to his home. And a little child of about 5 years, a boy, was playing in the sitting room. And the deacon said, "Hey, Sonny, where's your father?" And he said, "My father is praying." And the deacons knew immediately that the pastor might be praying about that call, whether he should go or not. And then, "Where's your mother?" they asked. And the boy said, "My mother is packing." Father is praying, mother is packing. That's me many times, and that's you. And sometimes we don't even pray about things we should pray about. We just go ahead and, you know, do. And the first thing every one of us should realize every morning is that we have been given another day, that we could live for God, could live for our family, our friends. And we should thank God for that. And the second thing we should do is what we Jesus want me to do today. Every morning, every day, everywhere, whatever we do, wherever we may be. Hallowed be your name. Should be a concern, because God is so concerned about his name, more than we even realize. Thy kingdom come, your reign and rule. God is so concerned about that too. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be concerned about that too. Before we even mention our needs before God. God wants us to pray for these things. They are legitimate needs, and God is happy about that when we pray for these needs. But God's will in our lives. Someone by the name of Robert Law has once said, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. That's beautiful and meaningful, I think. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. Actually, God is always ready to hear us when we pray. In Psalm 65, verse 2, the psalmist say, O thou that hearest prayers. My King James Version stopped coming out. I grew up reading King James Version first, and then other versions. All flesh shall come to thee, psalmist says. One of God's character, one of God's attributes, I would even say, is hearing prayers. As long as he exists as God, he would always listen to our prayers. He would always hear our prayer. Because hearing our prayers cannot be separated from who God is. God is a prayer-hearing God. But prayer is not getting our will done in heaven, but God's will done on earth. I came across a definition of prayer by someone, which I like very much, and it says, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but grasping God's willing hand. God is always ready to listen to our prayers and to grant our requests. It's not overcoming God's reluctance. God is never reluctant to give us the best, what is good for us. But many times we don't pay enough attention to God's will, God's name, God's glory, and God's kingdom. We just go to God and mention our needs, and that's good. Nothing's wrong with that. But we should realize that in Jesus' teaching about prayer, in this pattern prayer, those legitimate needs and prayers for them, it doesn't, the Lord's Prayer doesn't begin with those. God's will, God's kingdom, God's name come first. So the best and most satisfying and fruitful life a Christian can live is living out God's will. I am not trying to preach on a how-to sermon. How to find God's will, how to discover God's will. But I would like to mention two things before I close. One is, what we can learn from the Ten Commandments and what we can learn from the Lord's Prayer is the principle of relationship. That's the most primary thing here. We not only became God's children by putting our trust in Jesus, but we need to abide or remain in him. In John 15, from verses 1 through the end, almost the end of that chapter, Jesus teaches us that we need to abide in him and that his word need to abide in us. We need to remain in him. We need to live in him. We need to move in him. And it has to do with knowing God's mind, God's will. And the second principle that I would like to bring up here is the principle of willingness to obey him. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone will do his will, that is the will of his Father, he will know if my teaching is of myself or of my Father. To really know God's will, to really discern God's will in our lives, we need a willing heart to obey. Many times, we are very reluctant to forsake known sins, and we still want to grow. We cannot really grow until and unless we confess our sins and forsake them and leave them behind. We need to go forward. We need a willing heart. We need a willing heart to obey. Readiness to do God's will. Relationship that we gain through Christ, that we have become God's children and we can come to Him, approaching Him as a Father anytime, and willingness, a ready heart to obey and do His will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. His name is glory. His kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will. And then we have the legitimate needs pray for. Daily physical needs, pardon, forgiveness, and protection from the evil one, from temptation. Let's pay more attention to God's name, God's glory, God's kingdom, and His will. What would God want me today concerning this matter, concerning that matter, before even going to God? Let's put God first. Let's put His will first. Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer, the blind poet, said in one of our songs, our hymns, consecrate me, Lord, through the power. And another line said, let my will be lost in Thy. Let my will be lost in Thy. Don't let me ever say, this is Your will and this is my will. I can see them clearly. No. Let my will be lost in Thy. Let me be able to say, let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let my will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Thank You. Let's pray. Father, thank You once again for this wonderful, wonderful time where we can come together, we can pray together as a family, and listen to Your word together. Father, we pray that You would teach us from Your word as You have taught Your disciples how to pray and how to live the Christ life. Father, we know that we are nothing apart from You. Only as we remain in You, as we live a Christ-centered life in You, Father, we can bear fruit, we can glorify Your name, and we can have a satisfying, a fruitful life on earth. May Your will be done in our lives and on earth as it is in heaven. May we be able to pray this prayer in a true sense, Father. Teach us from Your word, because we can know Your will from Your word, from Your commandments. And You can teach us. Your Holy Spirit is living in us, teaching us, guiding us, showing us the way. You don't hide Your will from us. You don't hide the best things that You have in store for us. You want to show us Your will. You want to show us the way wherein we can walk. Father, I pray that you would bless this church, that we may always be able to please you in whatever we do, as we seek your will, as we seek your kingdom, as we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.